The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord. You find mountains in Bible stories from the beginning to the end of the Bible. Familiar places in the life of Jesus, for example, the Church of the Nativity of Jesus, or the house of Elizabeth, or even the city of Nazareth, are all on hilltops. Maybe not mountains, like a great mountain in the earth, but they are high places. Remember Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and Mount Tabor today, where Jesus is transfigured. The cluster of mountaintops called the Mount of Olives, Mount Zion, and Temple Mount, or Mount Moriah, are where Jerusalem is built, the place where Abraham went to sacrifice his miracle son, the mountain where the temple was built, where God the Father accepted the willing sacrifice of his only begotten son on the cross. This is the holiest site for Judaism as well as Islam. And on all sides are places where Jesus came to the temple, presided at the Last Supper, prayed in the Garden of Olives, was condemned to death, was crucified, and rose from the dead. All of those events are like in a circle around the mount where the temple was. Well, as a boy from Kansas, I consider mountains pretty amazing. Living on the East Coast now, however, we have less opportunity to see the broad sky than you can in Kansas or in Texas, for sure. Some people would say that the high places are holy places, somehow closer to God. But since I don't really believe heaven is up there somewhere, I tend to think that mountains are just holy places. They're places where we grow. The higher you go, the farther you see. The horizon, which was previously not visible, now stretches out for miles. On high places, if it is a clear day, you learn because you can see. On a clear day, standing on Mount Nebo on the east bank of the Jordan River, I have seen Jerusalem far on the horizon. Jerusalem 4,000 feet above sea level, a full mile above the Dead Sea, which is down to the left. Moses could see Jerusalem, Jericho, the Sea of Galilee, and Mount Tabor, all the way to the other side of Israel on the shore of the Mediterranean, where on Mount Carmel, Elijah's cave is today. Moses could see all of that, but he could not enter the Promised Land. At a high place, everything opens up to you. These mountains stand as testimony that all of these things took place. God chose life with us. He established the covenant on Abraham's faithfulness on the mountain where the Lord asked him to sacrifice his beloved son. I mean, just think for a moment the poignant message that this is. Here, I imagine what the conversation must have been like as they were going to make this sacrifice. And like Jesus carrying the cross, Isaac was carrying the wood of the fire on his back. Abraham's heart was broken. Isaac is confused. Where is the sacrifice? And then it all ends suddenly when the angel, the messenger, tells Abraham that his devotion has been made known, and that now there will be this covenant between God and his descendants. The law came to Moses in his mysterious visits with the Lord on Mount Sinai after the people were delivered from slavery in Egypt. So we come to the moment in the gospel today where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up Mount Tabor. The arid desert below is where we live. It is familiar to us, especially in these uncertain times in which we find ourselves. We feel the temptation to lock ourselves in sadness and discouragement and to give up and say, what is the point? So as we leave the desert, I know some of you have been to the Holy Land, even with me on these trips, but if you've ever been to Mount Tabor, it's fascinating. It's kind of a plain all surrounding it. It's just this mountain that just comes up out of nowhere. And you get in these little buses and you start circling up. There's a spiral, kind of a dangerous road, actually. When I first started going to the Holy Land, they didn't have these buses yet, and you had to hire a car, and these guys were just speeding around these corners, and literally you're looking like right off the side of the mountain all the way up. But I love this metaphor, because as you start to go up the mountain and you come around one side, you start to marvel at Megiddo, the valley of Megiddo, which is on this side. You come back around, you can see the way to the Sea of Galilee. You come back around, you see Nazareth. Each time you come around, you say to yourself, it can't get more beautiful than this. And then, like the annual cycle of liturgy, we come back around maybe the next year. We're still on the same side of the mountain. We see the same view, but it is somehow grander. The beauty of it is so much more intense. And you say to yourself, it just can't get any better than this. And then you come back around the mountain again. And suddenly you're near the top and you can't even fathom how far the eye can see and how beautiful it is, unless it's raining like it does sometimes when we're on these trips. They get to the top and their vision is filled with something entirely unexpected and new. Imagine if you had never seen a horizon, having lived all your life in a valley. And suddenly you see it stretching out in all directions. It would be a lot to take in the first time. Well, this is the way the glory of God is revealed. Moses is still up there, isn't he? And Elijah. They're having a conversation. Jesus' apostles were suddenly placed into a new context. You can hear the confusion in Peter's words. He's trying to process all of this. I know, he thinks, we can have all this new insight and still keep everything just the way it's always been. We can still be the same people we have always been. Things don't have to be different, and we've always thought they were, do they? So we'll put each of you in your own little tent and deal with this one at a time, and still keep you all together. The law, Moses, and the prophets, Elijah, and now Jesus too. God's voice itself is the fulfillment of all the scriptures that have gone before. And suddenly they vanish. The voice says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. This is my beloved son. Familiar words from his baptism in the Jordan River, which, by the way, is right over there below as you look out over the valley. It's not a question of pitching tents, trying to freeze life in this moment of light and not move forward. Rather, it's a question of letting ourselves be covered by the shadow of the cloud, knowing that the light endures, whatever comes. Moments of light are sometimes given to us in our lives to set us on our way. Then we look around and only see Jesus with us. But now we know this presence changes everything. The horizon we have glimpsed in the light will continue to attract us, even when we so often feel we are in darkness or are struggling with daily trials and doubts. Moving forward, we carry with us the exhilaration and joy and the renewed hope in the glory of God.